Enjoy the sounds of summer with Raycon. Get 32 hours of battery life and active noise cancellation at half the price of other premium audio brands. Right now, get up to 15% off at buyraycon.com/curly. That's buyraycon.com/curly.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
You either have grace or you don't.
Read Grace's work in The Spectator and see her recommended reading at gracecurleyshow.com.
She's a nasty woman. She's a really nasty woman.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley.
Grace Curley, host of the Grace Curley Show.
Grace. Grace Curley.
Grace!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show, and a happy Alligator Alcatraz Day to you, and to you, and to you, and to all of those who celebrate. It's a big day here. The Senate just passed the reconciliation 51-50 with Vice President J.D. Vance breaking the tie. The GOP, no votes, you could probably guess. Collins, Tillis, and Paul. That'd be Rand Paul. Picnic Paul, as I'm going to start to call him, I think. And very exciting stuff. Now it goes back to the House because this is obviously a different...
Yes, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
Oh, man, that song slaps. That really was a great jam. Now it goes back to the House because it's a different piece of legislation than what it was when they sent it over to the Senate. The House has to sign off on it. And it's looking, Taylor, like it's going to be on Trump's desk right in time for some pork chops and American cheese and a big gallon of vanilla ice cream. If you don't know what that is, it's a deep cut. It's a reference to the Biden.
Sounds like a very strange Swedish dessert.
It's a reference to the Biden BBQ picnic tweet from a few years ago. Maybe I should drop it, but I can't. I can't. It's what I think of now when I think of July 4th, unfortunately. So it looks like this could all happen on Trump's timeline, which is really amazing to see. And I know last night there was a bit of a hullabaloo because Elizabeth McDonough, who's a Senate parliamentarian, she helped the Senate reject the measure to kick illegals off Medicaid last night. So I saw that this morning and I was like, oh God, can we get anything done? I keep telling people how hopeful I am. And then it seems like the universe doesn't want me to be so optimistic. So I came in this morning prepping with a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. And it looks like it's all going to be okay. Now, I do want to say, though, on that front, just really quickly about kicking illegals off Medicaid, because the left is melting down about this. But it's a weird thing, Taylor, because, and it's something we see a lot with Democrats. They're telling us that something is not happening, and at the same time, they're very upset when we just want to make sure it's not happening. Like, they keep saying, well, illegal aliens, non-citizens are not getting Medicaid. And then the thought of kicking them off Medicaid sends all of these people into a Cory Booker like meltdown.
Illegal tears. Aliens aren't voting. Okay, let's just have voter ID just to ensure that's not happening. How dare you?
Jim Crow 2.0. Jim Crow 2.0, are you a racist? Why would you want to do that? And it's like, well, you just said it wasn't happening, so we're just doing a discount double check, making
racism,
sure.
Racism, racism.
And also, you could use the example, I'm glad you brought up voter integrity, because that's the one that comes to mind the most, because like this, like illegals on Medicaid, it helps one party more than the other. The party that's telling you it's not happening, but also is crying when you try to make sure it's not happening, that party is benefiting from it. But the other thing it reminds me of is Iran. You all were telling us that they were not close to developing a nuclear weapon. And then when Trump went in and said, okay, let's just make sure of it. Let's make sure we're a few years out from this possibility. Then all of a sudden, you're going, well, you know, this violates the war acts and this is insane. And also, they're still going to be fine. They're pulling this together really fast. They could have a nuclear weapon in months. But you just told us they weren't even close to having one. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. And so as much as I was annoyed with that last night, happy to see J.D. Vance on Capitol Hill breaking that tie. I'm sure he was glad to do it. In the meantime, Donald Trump is touring Alligator Alcatraz. I saw this morning. So I guess, what do you take, Taylor? Alligators or the sharks with the laser beams on their head?
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
Yeah. Maybe we could. I mean, it's not too late to get the laser beams beans on the alligator heads. We could do that, a little bit of a crossover. But, yeah, Trump is visiting alligator Alcatraz.
We're going to give the alligators chainsaws. They're going to be electric chainsaws.
Don't tell Elon. He will never leave. I wanted to mention this because when I heard alligator Alcatraz today, the first thing I thought of was Taylor. I was like, this feels like a movie from the 1940s that Taylor would watch, pretend to like. And then
pretend to like,
and then tell us all in the green room how it's a travesty that we don't understand cinema and we've never watched Alligator Alcatraz.
I do like all of those like cheesy B movies with monsters in them. They're great. They're so corny, but they're fantastic.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this facility, it's really amazing. And there's never a dull moment with the 47th president. So on the same day that the Big Beautiful Bill is taking that next big beautiful step towards really crossing the finish line, Trump is in Florida and he's touring a 3,000-bed detention center being used as a sprawling facility for illegal aliens arrested for things like murder, child rape, and kidnapping. So let me translate that for you. You can expect to see Democrats like Congresswoman LaMonica McIver or maybe Senator Chris Van Hollen trying to sneak past the gators to get to the rapists to save them. These are all their new BFFs that are being kept at Alligator Alcatraz.
And but alligators, we're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay? If they escape prison, how to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing.
Yeah, it's the zigzag. You know, there's a lot of things Trump is on to before me, you know, that you can look back at like the 1970s and he had some incredible predictions or hot takes that ended up being true. But he can't take credit for that, Taylor. I have been talking about the way to escape an alligator for the last 10 years. On air, by the way. I've made it known on air.
Have you ever seen an alligator run? They're pretty fast.
Yeah, not as fast as me when I'm zigzagging.
Okay.
It's all about the zigzag. You're the one who always says you could take one down with your bare hands. Do you think this is... You could be starring in this 1940s flick, Taylor.
I think a 4 to 6 foot alligator I could take on, yeah.
I think you are delusional. I think you are out of your mind.
Anything over 6 feet, we're going to have a problem, yeah.
That's where you draw the line. Okay. Well, the people at the criminals that are being kept here, and again, they're making their way towards superstardom. Like, there's a Kilmar Abrego Garcia in the bunch. I just know it. I just know there's someone there. The thing that's unfortunate, though, is that the judges, the district court judges, if it weren't for that ruling from the Supreme Court, that 6-3 ruling, I'm sure there's some judges out there who would rule against Trump using alligators, you know, who would tell Trump the alligators, no, you have to send the alligators to Venezuela. You cannot do this. But the part of this that I'm most looking forward to is figuring out which of these criminals the left is going to rally behind and try to save from alligator Alcatraz. And I want to read you just a few of the descriptions here. This is from Breitbart. Jan Veslino of the Philippines, Paul Urquiza Orozco of Peru, and Adolfo Santoscoy Rodriguez of Mexico, all arrested by ICE agents in Florida, have been convicted of child sex crimes. Johnny Dudon, an illegal alien from Haiti who has been convicted of kidnapping and false imprisonment. Noel Acosta Moya, an illegal alien from Venezuela who has been arrested by ICE agents after he was convicted of kidnapping and sexual assault of a child under 13 years old. So there are plenty of new victims for the left to feel bad for. And I don't mean the victims of these heinous crimes. I mean the people who committed the crimes, because those are the people that the left is going to have crocodile tears for, or should I say alligator tears for. And they're going to get their theater background, and they're always seeking virality. They're going to try to show up there, but it's going to be more difficult. You know, Delaney Detention Hall, Taylor, in Newark is one thing. Crossing the swamp of alligators, that's someone who really wants it. You know, that's someone who's looking at this Democrat superstardom and saying, I'm willing to go there.
Can you give me that crocodile tears line again one more time?
Oh, okay, hold on, let me try. I'm going to slow it down this time. All of these Democrats who are trying to go viral are going to have to shed some crocodile tears, or should I say alligator tears. Yeah. Not my best, but I wrote it down, so I figured I would roll with it. And you read about these rap sheets, and you have to remind yourself that the people who are defending these vicious criminals, the people who want these criminals on their, not their streets, but here in the United States, just not near them, but somewhere, you know, in a neighborhood not near them, they're also the same people who are trying to convince you that the ICE agents are the bad guys. They're the Gestapo. They're the people that we should be assaulting and harassing and doxing. And it's horrific. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, it's amazing to see the, well, there's one positive and one negative. I'm going to read you the negative first. Bill Malugin said he asked DHS for the raw data as far as the increase in attacks on ICE agents. It's up nearly 700% over the same time last year. So that means we've gone from 10 assaults over that one period of time to 79 assaults. So a 690% increase of attacks on ICE, because the left keep convincing their crazy Zohran followers, their AOC Ilhan Omar followers, that the ICE agents are the problem here, that the people trying to implement Trump's agenda and, more importantly, enforce the law are the people that should be attacked. And it's shameful. But here's a good piece of information that I think you guys might like. And this is from the New York Times. And it always makes me happy when the New York Times has a headline. And for their readers, Taylor, like the old lady that we saw at the No Kings protest, who's like, everything makes me scared. I'm scared of Trump. I'm scared of all of it. For those readers, this headline is very, very bad. And for anyone else with half a brain who doesn't subscribe to the New York Times, you read this headline and you're like, that's awesome. Here it is. ICE arrests have sharply risen in every state since Trump took office. They even include a graph, and they show you that in certain states, like Arkansas, it's a 176% increase of ICE arrests. In Texas, it's a 92% increase. In California, it's a 103% increase. In New York, it's a 79% increase. In Colorado, it's a 257% increase. And of course, this is supposed to make me feel bad.
Yeah, and those blue states, it's easy to get those numbers because they weren't arresting anybody to begin with.
Yeah, they're basically starting from scratch.
Pretty low
when
bar.
I just mentioned Zohran. I have him on the mind. I put up a column on the website yesterday at gracecurlyshow.com. If you're not familiar with the front runner in the mayoral race in New York City, I posted a lot of his old videos, his old clips, his old stances that he still believes, but the media is trying to claim he doesn't believe. But unlike Kamala Harris, he is not really going along with it. He's not sugarcoating how he feels on things, despite the media trying to get him to. And so I have that there, but there's a hilarious story we're going to talk about during this show, and it involves a tiny administrative error that might be the undoing of Mamdani's grocery store idea. He wants these city-run grocery stores, but he might have made a little mistake with a little bit of fuzzy math, if you catch my drift. So we'll talk about that when we return. Allergy season is here. If you struggle with that season, join the club. I think this year, Taylor, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've never had allergies before. They're hitting everybody.
Yeah, there's so many people in the office that have been hit by the allergies outside. Grass pollen, I hear, is at kind of an all-time high because some of the rain that we've gotten and the drying out that allows, and the windy factor allows the pollen to migrate and get all over the place, and it really affects people until they walk into the office and into the fond embrace of the Eden Pure Thunderstorms ionic waves that it creates. It creates like this super oxygen. It ionizes the air. It gets rid of all of those allergens, those pollutants, all the dander that might come in with you, and purifies the air so that you're not experiencing what is going on the outside when you're inside. It's so much better. You just breathe easier.
Yeah, and the price is right, because if you go online, this is a big thing for people. Everyone, you know, everyone is interested in breathing cleaner air because it's something that's going to improve your day-to-day life. And it's something we should all be concerned about. But if you go online and you Google it, you're looking at units that cost up to $600, not with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You're getting a great deal and you're getting three of them. So go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE3. EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE3. So the big, beautiful bill on its way to finally becoming law. Very exciting stuff here at the Grace Curley Show. We have all of that and more when we come back.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being evenly divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative. The bill as amended is passed.
Yeah, that was J.D. Vance. I also want to play a cut, Taylor, of Stephen Miller last night, talking about this bill, because he's been someone who, he's obviously very smart. He's able to explain the positives of this bill, and he's also able to kind of level with people who are not happy with the fact that, for example, DOGE cuts are not enshrined in the bill. He explains why. He's someone who's very good at procedural arguments, and he understands the frustration, but he also is just out here telling people this isn't the kind of bill where you can get that stuff put in that has to be put in later on. And I wanted to play one of the cuts here. This is cut 8, please.
I've spent my entire life in the conservative movement. Since I was a kid in high school, working, dreaming of the day where we could have a piece of legislation like what exists right now, Sean, what President Trump has brought to the precipice of passage.
Yeah, and as much as, you know, Rand Paul and I guess Susan Collins and other senators, they want to see more cuts happening, he has made it very clear, Stephen Miller, he's a great spokesperson for Trump, that that would all have to go through what's known as rescissions packages or an appropriations bill. That is not what we're dealing with right now. So this is all really, I think, great news. People might disagree with me. Enjoy the sounds of summer with Raycon. Get 32 hours of battery life and active noise cancellation at half the price of other premium audio brands. Right now, get up to 15% off at buyraycon.com/curly. That's buyraycon.com/curly. And just a programming note, very exciting, Matt Boyle is going to join us at 105 to break down this big, beautiful bill, where it stands right now, and so much more. But Taylor, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who has the best chance of defeating Zohran Mamdani if all other New York City mayoral candidates dropped out? Eric Adams, Andrew Cuomo, or Curtis Sliwa?
I'm saying Eric Adams, and I'm sorry to Sliwa, but enough. Like, you've got this guy's career now is running for mayor of New York City. And as far as Cuomo goes, you guys know how I feel about Cuomo. If you don't know, just, you know, go back and listen to the podcast. I cannot stand Andrew Cuomo. The egos involved here are huge, but they really need to put them aside if they don't want this socialist. And I know there's this big argument. Is he a socialist? Is he a communist? He's crazy. He's crazy. I don't think we should really split hairs here over which one it is. But if you really want to stop him, somebody or multiple people have to drop out of this race. That's just, it is what it is. I'm going to say I'd like to see it become Eric Adams versus Zohran Mamdani to at least give the more normal candidate a shot.
81% say Eric Adams, 12% say Curtis Sliwa, and only 6% say Andrew Cuomo.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of Eric Adams, and I understand why people don't like him, just like I understand why people don't like all this spending in the bill. But politics is the art of the possible, and if you don't make these moves now, if you don't pick your best chance at this, you're handing the city over to someone who, like 13 days after October 7th, was protesting in the streets with pro-Palestinian protesters. Okay, this is what we're dealing with. This is a guy who wants to seize the means of production. He wants city-run grocery stores, but he can't even figure out the budget on it. We'll talk more about Zohran when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
There are certain things that he stands for and says that I don't agree with, but I think you have to pay attention to the fact that you had a candidate in New York City that was talking every single day about the cost of living, and he was proposing really big, sometimes radical ideas to take power from folks who have way too much of it, like the big realty companies that are jacking up rents in New York City.
Yeah, that's Senator Chris Murphy talking about Zohran Mamdani and his big radical ideas, including seizing the means of production. We should really play this, Taylor, because it ties into a few of the stories that are out there today about Zohran. I think as New Yorkers get increasingly more concerned about the fact that this guy could be the next mayor, you know, you wish there had been that concern leading up to the primary, that more and more is coming out about this communist slash socialist slash question mark. And it tells you really all you need to know, at least about his economic ideology. Let's have Zohran talking about seizing the means of production.
What the purpose is about this entire project, it's not simply to raise class consciousness, but to win socialism. And obviously raising class consciousness is a critical part of that. But making sure that we have candidates that both understand that and are willing to put that forward at every which moment that they have, at every which opportunity that they're given. We have to continue to elect more socialists. And we have to ensure that we are unapologetic about our socialism. There are also other issues that we firmly believe in, whether it's BDS, right? Or whether it's the end goal of seizing the means of production, where we do not have the same level of support at this very moment.
Yeah. So he says socialist there. I remember when a candidate being a self-proclaimed socialist was enough in this country, Taylor, to veer people away from that person. It was like a sinking thing in a campaign. So I remember even with Bernie Sanders, who I would say is probably the most famous. He was just on Joe Rogan, by the way. And what a horrendous interview that was. But even with Bernie Sanders, there was this kind of mentality.
Joe Rogan!
There was this mentality from conservatives like, oh, I hope Bernie Sanders wins the Democrat nominee for president because a socialist is never going to win the presidency. And I understand how times have changed in an extreme way, obviously, over the last few years. But to hear Senator Chris Murphy saying, hey, his ideas are kind of, I don't agree with all of them. Well, which ones do you agree with? How will we start there? And you know how I know this isn't a winning strategy for Democrats? It might be a winning strategy in New York City, maybe. And that's a really sad indictment on what's going on in the formerly wonderful city known as the Big Apple. But you know how I know this isn't a long-term strategy for Democrats? The fact that the media is trying so hard to tell you that everything this guy has said is not how he really feels. Scott Jennings said it yesterday when we were playing that cut where one of the anchors on CNN was telling Scott Jennings that he was being inaccurate about saying that Zohran Mamdani wants to tax white neighborhoods. And Scott Jennings had to tell him, like, it was in a statement that he put out. That's literally the word he used, white. This attempt, and Scott pointed it out, he said, oh, this is the Kamala Harris playbook. Sugarcoat or even deny or claim to have changed positions, evolved on all of these topics in the last few years, few months, even sometimes few weeks. Like, yeah, he felt that way when he was 30, but now he's 33. He's grown so much. He doesn't feel that way anymore. He's not a radical. You're misinterpreting all the things that he's ever said. And until you have a candidate where you don't need to do that anymore, I'm pretty sure it's not a winning strategy. If your only shot at getting someone across the finish line is lying about everything they've ever said and done, then you probably could find someone better. It's probably not the best option. It's like, oh yeah, he's, you know, the only thing they can come up with, Taylor, as a positive for this guy, and these are Democrats, these aren't Republicans, these are Democrats trying their best, Hakeem Jeffries, Chris Murphy, trying their best to make this a little bit less painful for moderate voters in New York. And the only positive they can really come up with is he talked to a lot of people. He talked to a lot of people, and he did a lot of media interviews.
But none of them will endorse him. What did Hakeem Jeffries say yesterday? I don't really know him, so I can't really... our districts don't even overlap that much.
We don't know each other that well.
What a ringing endorsement of some... You know, this is a race for the New York City mayoral position, and, you know, you've been vocal, the Democratic Party, about not wanting Eric Adams. That was... basically a party move to get Eric Adams out of there by way of lawfare. So that's been their position. They don't want Andrew Cuomo on there because he's chopped liver. He's dead meat. You know, he's had so many Me Too problems, and COVID has not been kind to him in the history books. So he's out. Curtis Lee was out for the Democrats, obviously. So their only choice is Zohran Mamdani. And I wouldn't trust, I mean, just listening to that cut, I wouldn't trust this guy if he was trying to sell me solar door to door. He sounds like a skeevy, sketchy guy. I would slam the door on him. No, thank you. And they're trying to run him for mayor of New York. It's absolutely preposterous. And you know, when people say, like Chris Murphy, when he says there are some issues that I don't agree with him on, he, like you said, he does need to be a lot more clear which issues do you agree with him on?
Because is it his refusal to condemn the calls for the Intifada for the Jewish people?
Is it defunding the police? Is it city-run grocery stores?
Is it seizing the means of production?
Exactly. What are the positions from Zohran Mamdani that are not controversial? I haven't heard them.
Yeah, and you're asking for specificity, which is always the kryptonite. It's the Achilles heel for these Democrats. But, you know, there's this whole thing, and let me read you. So CNN writes, Zohran Mamdani, the favorite to become New York City's next mayor after winning the Democratic primary, has a contentious plan to create a network of city-owned grocery stores, but it's less radical than critics portray, some food and policy grocery industry experts say. Oh, so we're back to the experts. So now we're supposed to listen to these experts who are telling us city-run grocery stores and seizing the means of production. It's not that radical. It sounds radical, and it is radical, but it's not radical. Don't believe your own ears. And, you know, I give this guy a tiny bit of credit because he doesn't seem to be the one who's trying to mince words here. It's everybody else trying to convince you. What he means is, they used to do this thing with Biden too, so it drives me crazy. Biden would say something, right? He would say something racist, or he would say something homophobic, or he would say something sexist. And everyone in the media would become like these mind readers. That's not what he meant. There's so much more context to it. There's so much more nuance. You don't understand. This is a very compassionate man. If you could read, if you could see into his brain like we can, you would understand that what he meant to say was, and then they do this long explanation on Snopes or factcheck.org about what he really meant to say. Sometimes people are saying what they're trying to say, and you should believe them when they tell you the first time. And I would have to assume that in New York City, they have a very high population of Jewish people, of proud Jewish people. And this attempt, and I get it. I get that conservatives are going to focus on this guy's a communist. He's retweeted communist propaganda. Or is he a socialist? He claims to be a socialist. You know, a communist would be worse. So that's why we have to label him a communist. But when you're dealing with a city like New York City, where you have so many Jewish people, one would assume that the fact that 13 days after October 7th, that this guy was leading a protest accusing Israel of genocide 13 days after those women and children were murdered, brutally murdered. Women were raped and dragged through the streets, dragged through the kibbutzes. 13 days after that, he waited 13 days to start accusing Israel of genocide and demanding a ceasefire. Communist, socialist, to me, that shouldn't even be a factor here. It's like that should be enough to lose in New York City. Just that right there. Now, since we're talking about, another little side note that I would throw in here, since we're talking about the state of the Democrat Party, is that when you have a Zohran Mamdani, when you have Ilhan Omar, who told us a few weeks ago that she thinks the United States is, did she say, Taylor, the worst country on earth or one of the worst countries?
Yeah.
When you have Democrats who are constantly telling you these things, you should believe them because it's how they really feel. And there's a Gallup poll out that shows that if you look at the parties and the percentage that say they're of the party that says they're proud to be an American. I just want to read you the difference, because with Republicans, it's always high. It was 90% in 2001 said they were proud to be Americans, and 92% in 2025. So we've increased from 90 to 92. How's that? The red and the blue, as Bruce Springsteen would say.
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. That's what it's all about. Now we have the Democrats. 2001, Democrats were at 87%. 87% of Democrats said they were proud to be Americans. Care to guess what it is in 2025, in the year of Zohran Mamdani potentially becoming, or, you know, at least winning the mayoral primary in New York City?
62%.
36%.
Whoa.
But are you surprised, Taylor? Are you surprised?
In a dictatorship. And I don't even remember ever witnessing anything like that. To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world, to now be turned into one of the, you know, one of the worst countries.
One of the worst countries. Yeah, and it's like, this is the woman who's in Congress. She's from Somalia, and she's in the United States Congress, and she thinks we're one of the worst countries. And you're surprised that that has trickled down to especially the Gen Zers and the younger people who have been taught to hate this country since they were 7 years old? Yeah, you start indoctrinating kids in grade, you know, K in kindergarten, they're going to get there. They're really going to learn to hate the United States of America. So am I shocked by that? No. When I'm looking at a person who could be the next mayor of New York City, who hates capitalism, who seems to not be very fond of Jewish people, who can't condemn globalizing the Intifada, and he's sitting there on Meet the Press, and he could be the next mayor. Am I supposed to be surprised that Democrats aren't too fond of the USA? When I see Democrats tap dancing over the fact that Iran might be able to rebuild their nuclear capabilities, also that they could say the U.S. military failed in Midnight Hammer operation, and so they could pounce and seize and weaponize and ding Donald Trump, am I supposed to be surprised that they're not waving their American flags? They're not playing their Toby Keith on the July 4th weekend? I'm not. Some of them pretend, you know, they wear their pins and they pretend, but this is known at this point. We're going to continue to talk about this, but let's go to the calls here. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Tom?
Hi, how are you doing? Great show, first of all. Second of all, I actually want this guy to win. I can't stand him. I think his policies are incredibly destructive, as are those policies of the leftist Democrats. However, I think that Americans will not understand the destructive policies that he would yield if they don't actually see it. And I'd rather see New York City suffer for a few years than New York State and the whole United States. I think if people see these horrible policies, failing policies in action, maybe it'll wake them up, and maybe in the future they won't vote for such losers. They're not just losers, they're insidious. Also, one quick other note. If you invert, some of you might have mentioned this already, but if you invert the M and the D, that's more like what he is, madman. He's a madman.
Ooh, I like that. Tom, so Tom just brought up something, and this is like, people have two schools of thoughts on this. There are some people who think we need to make sure Mamdani does not win because we do not want this happening in a city in the United States of America. We don't want a socialist who also can't condemn globalizing the Intifada running the greatest city in the United States of America, at least once was and could be again the greatest city. And then you have people who feel exactly like Tom just said, which is, hey, this is, yeah, go learn your lesson. This is what you want to do. Do it. I actually tend to go with the first group, and I'll explain more why when we come back, but it has to do with what Taylor says a lot, which is, it's like grocery store prices. Once they go up, it's very rare that they ever really come back down. That is how I feel about these radical politicians. Once these cities go radical and you actually put someone in power with these kind of dangerous ideologies, it's hard to undo it. You'd hope, and what Tom's saying makes sense to average people, that, yeah, you elect this guy, you reap what you sow, elections have consequences, you start to see the destructive nature of his policies. But what tends to happen is the next person is even more radical. I don't know why. I can't really explain it, but we saw it in Chicago.
It's kind of like the reverse Trumpism effect, where, you know, they tried to take out Trump, and that made those of us who are kind of maybe on the fence about another Trump candidacy, just digging our heels saying, all right, this is our guy now, we're going in. And that's what, you know, we might do with New York City. If we say, go ahead, put him in, see what happens, we're going to laugh all the way. They're just going to dig their heels in some more. All right, we're going full bore with radicalism, and we're going to make this work somehow, even though it's not going to.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to stick with it, even if it means our own demise. We're going to see it through. I think that stubbornness definitely plays a factor. And also, it's just, you know, you look at, for example, Lori Lightfoot. That would have been a lesson. It seemed like people in Chicago learned their lesson, right? They couldn't stand her. She was the first incumbent, and I don't know how long, in decades, in Chicago not to win. Because she did such a bad job, because she was such a nut.
Like
she was a mad
scientist with all kinds of failed experiments. Oh, it didn't work here, but I bet it'll work here. It'll work this time.
And she's
Frankenstein.
She's sending those crazy all caps emails, and they said, we've had enough of this. And what did they do? They voted for Brandon Johnson, who I think is worse than Lori Lightfoot. So I don't know if, you know, hoping voters learn their lesson is really a successful or an efficient way of going about this. Oh, summer, more warmth, more light, more time to spend outside. I love my everyday Raycon earbuds. You know, yesterday, Taylor, I was listing off all the chores that I do when I have my Raycons in.
Cinderella, Cinderella.
And you said that, and you know what I did after?
You watched Cinderella?
I watched Cinderella. I had my daughter and I watched Cinderella,
the
original
dishes,
cartoon.
Do the washing and the
She didn't have Raycon earbuds, I noticed. And it seemed like she was pretty miserable. Well, yeah. Like she was doing a lot of work.
If she had Raycons, that movie may have turned out differently.
Yeah, it's just, you know, she's talking to the animals and stuff, which is cool. I'm not trying to downplay that, but I still think I'd take a podcast
over
talking
Raycons,
to the mice.
You go crazy. You start talking to the household rodents.
Yes, exactly. It's a road to disaster. So get your Raycons. The latest model is better than ever. My whole family has Raycons. My husband has them. My father has them. Everybody loves their Raycons, and everybody panics when they forget them. You can see the look on someone's face when they say, oh no, I don't have
Raycons. It's the 2025 equivalent of leaving your house without wearing your watch that you wear every day. You just don't feel the same. You feel naked.
You feel naked, and I don't want you to feel naked, okay? So I want you to get your Raycon earbuds
today.
Don't
let your ears be nude.
And go to buyraycon.com/curly to get 15% off Raycon's best-selling everyday earbuds. Also, just a quick shout-out to the battery life on these bad boys. They are amazing. You plug it in for just 10 minutes. It yields 90 minutes of battery. So go to buyraycon.com/curly. That's buyraycon.com/curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Get your Raycons today. Don't be like Cinderella, okay? She didn't know what she was doing. She was a fool. Get your Raycons at buyraycon.com/curly. We'll be right back.
This is the Grace Curly Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curly Show. I'm not done with Mamdani yet. We're not going to spend all day on it, but there's another part of this story. You know, a lot of the hoopla around this candidate involves his idea for city-run grocery stores. And part of the financial plan for that, wink, wink, was that he was planning on tapping into a $140 million pile of subsidies for corporate grocery stores. The only problem, as pointed out by Tim Carney from Beltway Confidential, he just misread a government website. The money does not exist. The $140 million pile of subsidies is not there. So that could be an issue. Matt Boyle next.